This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode... What episode? It is episode... 547? Is that right? That's what my piece of paper says. It says 547. We're gonna go with that. I think that's right. 547. It's been a good week. Things are puttering along. I'm not actually leaving from my major client. I'm leaving from the UPS store because I was returning something. So I'm just waiting for some people to get parked and so I can move back and get on my merry way. This whole UPS return thing has just turned into a very easy thing, which may or may not be good. I have a tendency to say, yeah, okay, I'll try that, and then just send stuff back. Because they've made it so easy. I actually had to return something to an eBay merchant the other day, and it was like, what? I have to pay shipping? What? I have to... Oh, man. You know, this free enterprise system, this is amazing. My poor little watch, which has worked good. I think my lithium battery is going out on it. Which that happens, you know, because they only have so many charge cycles in them. And I think I've had my watch for long enough now that my charge cycles, I've reached that mythical 2,000 charges. And it doesn't seem like I've had it that long, though. But I got up today and, you know, it was... I got up today and normally, if it's at 100% at night, I get up the next day. I mean, I'm at 80-some-odd percent. Because I turn off all the display and everything at night. I just need it for the alarm and for any alerts that might come in. So it's not really doing that much. Well, I got up today and I was down to like, I don't know, 40% or something. Like, whoa, 50%. Whoa, what's going on? So I checked and didn't see anything that was turned on. And sure enough, I got towards the, you know, later in the day and it was wanting to go into power saving mode. So I charged it up with my phone but still it was losing power consistently, but you know, free enterprise. So, well, first of all, internet and free enterprise. So first of all, I looked up on the internet. So are these batteries replaceable? Sure enough, they are. Screws on the back of the watch, back out the screws. Found an example on YouTube very quickly of how to replace this watch battery. You know, and then I go to, and they're like, well, you gotta have this screwdriver, and you gotta have this screwdriver, and you gotta have this little pry bar, and you gotta, you know, so okay, that's fine. So I go to Amazon and look for a replacement watch battery for, you know, Samsung Galaxy S3, and it comes up, not only can you buy the battery, but you can buy it in a pack where it has the battery and the two little screwdrivers and the little pry thing and the tweezers that you need. And it's all just there, and you get it in 2 days for $22. It's just like, wow. Wow. What a time to be alive. Man. So I went ahead and ordered that. And we'll get that put in probably sometime this weekend. And that will be that, and hopefully the watch will be back where it needs to be. The book is going fine. I was working on the cover this last week. Got the cover done over the weekend. I had finished up my Grammarly edit and launched into working on the cover. Got the cover squared away. It's fine. I just saw the recorder and it looked like it was a little too far forward, but I think it's okay. Got the cover finished up and got the pictures taken of the grandkids and that all went fine, and the cover achieved the level of passable mediocrity, which is always what I'm going for with these books, given the time and energy that I have to put towards them at this point. I just do what I need to do. I had a friend ask me this week, so do you have some sort of length or that you try to make these books, or do you, you know, is there some constraint that you want to tell so much of the story, or do you, and I was telling him, well, I just basically sit down and start writing. I kind of know where I want, sorry, there was a guy waiting to turn left and he was going, and he was gonna turn left, and then all of a sudden he decided not to, and he kind of slammed on his brakes, and then I had kind of slam on my brakes. Anyways, so he was asking me, well, do you have kind of a hard limit? And I was explaining to him, well, I sort of know where the books are going, but I don't really. I just kind of keep writing until I fill up a book. But since I have 16 weeks of writing set aside per book, and it's 10,000 words a week, the books pretty much need to come in around 160,000 words. This came in at 169, so that's close. Type set out at 470 pages, something like that. But some of that is recaps from previous books and, you know, glossaries and characters and terminology and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's probably somewhere around 430, 440. But that's fine. So got the cover done, got that all taken care of. That was fine. And all is well there. I actually uploaded my files. So now I'm just waiting for Amazon to say, yep, those are good. And then we'll go from there, and I'll order books here in probably tomorrow morning. I'll order books. And then the books will hopefully be in next week. Mail them all out. Got book 11 under control. And then start book 12. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm theoretically starting book 12 on October the 1st, but of course I'll start early. I always do. So I'll just start working on that. And then it will be halfway. Halfway. Which is unbelievable. But halfway. So that's all good. I have a wedding anniversary coming up, so that's all good. This will be, we were married in 1988. Is that right? We were married. I think that's right. We were married in 1988. So 2018 would have been our 30 year, and this 2019 is 31 years. So it's been a good 31 years. So we're gonna take off, have a little vacation, you know, a couple of weeks here. So that'll be fun. So I will probably in a couple of weeks here record the podcast on my phone. Not sure when it'll get uploaded, but I'll try to get it uploaded as close as possible to normal. Everything's puttering along, all is well. I actually had something else that I was going to... Whoa, this is sliding off again. I'm going to move it. I don't know why we're having so much trouble with the recorder. This, I think I had it too far back. So I had another topic I was going to talk about today, which is fun. It's like the five most dangerous substances in the world or something like that. It was just this random YouTube video that came up on my feed, and I listened to it. I'm like, wow, this is interesting. We'll probably go ahead and do that next week. But this week, there was an incident this week that I just looked at it and I went, okay, really, really, really. And I had breakfast with a buddy this morning who is not necessarily, you know, a staunch member of any political party. And I asked him about this morning, and he kind of shook his head as well. He's just like, yeah, no, I know. The phraseology that I used with him that he was not familiar with because he was a younger guy is that I think this past week, officially, at least in my opinion, the New York Times jumped the shark. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with the phrase jumped the shark, as I recall, it comes from the old Happy Days TV show that just went on and on and on and on and got to the place where they really just needed to say, okay, we're done, but they just kept going, trying to come up with new story ideas with the Fonz, you know, just doing their best. And eventually they had an episode where the Fonz was on his motorcycle and he was doing some daredevil thing where he was going to jump across a tank that had sharks in it. And this was the big dangerous thing that he was going to do. And people came to refer to something that has gone on too long and gotten ridiculous. I think that's what that means. As they finally jumped the shark. And I think this week, the New York Times jumped the shark. So what got this started was there were a couple of contributors to the New York Times who wrote a book called The Education of Brett Kavanaugh. And these reporters were going to go out and investigate Brett Kavanaugh and prove whatever, you know, or try to prove or disprove the stuff about Brett Kavanaugh. As you may remember, Brett Kavanaugh is a Supreme Court justice who had a rancorous confirmation hearing. Christine Blasey Ford, came forward to say that 30-plus years ago, she's hazy on some of the details, but that he pushed her down on a bed and tried to rape her. But she can't remember when it happened. She couldn't remember where it happened. It happened sometimes back there, and she was sure it was him. So they went through days of testimony, and then he gave his testimony, and, you know, and then there was a big uproar, and then they had to have the FBI turned loose on it for a while, and yada, yada, yada. Eventually, he was confirmed along party lines, but this, of course, has been a source of contention for the Democrats. And so, apparently, two contributors to the New York Times decided they were going to do this book, and they were going to re-interview everybody and maybe do what the FBI not supposed to do. And so you know, they eventually got this book published, The Re-Education of Brett Kavanaugh. And so they then contributed an article to the New York Times, and apparently the editors at the New York Times reviewed their articles and decided it wasn't newsworthy enough to be featured in the news. But they had a news review section, something like that, where they thought, well, we can put it over here. So they put it over there and had this supposedly explosive new revelation how that when Brett Kavanaugh went to Yale, that they would have drunken parties, and in one of these drunken parties, and I should have mentioned at the beginning of this, there are going to be words used in this that refer to male genitalia, and I do apologize if that's offensive. If it is, you should probably stop right now, because I'm just going to use what's been reported, and I will use the clinical term for things because that's what it is. So I'm pausing to give you a chance to shut off this podcast if you want to. Okay, so the report was that supposedly Brett Kavanaugh was drunk and apparently naked at one of these parties, and one of his friends grabbed his penis and shoved it into the hand of a young woman who was there who was apparently drunk as well. And this was witnessed. Okay, so of course this gave weight to the fact that there was a pattern of behavior. Aha, aha, aha. Okay, so this was the New York Times article that ran. There's only one problem with this. And that is that people who actually read the book from which this was supposedly excerpted noticed that there was an interesting detail that was left out. That was left out of the story. Somehow it got left out. And the interesting detail was the woman who was supposedly the victim at this drunken party, in fact, told friends that she couldn't remember the incident. She has no recollection that that ever happened. And the only report is from an individual who was a lawyer who was connected with the Clintons. And maybe, if I recall correctly, it wasn't even him saying it, but it was some people reporting that he had said it. So it's like this second, third-hand report where the victim doesn't even recall this happening from 30 years ago. And as this story developed then, as the New York Times runs this story, all the 2020 Democratic candidates come out and roundly condemn Brett Kavanaugh. He should be impeached. He should resign right now. Obviously, this is a pattern of behavior, blah, 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 blah. And then the New York Times comes out and says, by the way, because some people read the book and said, wait a minute, this is an important fact. Shouldn't this fact be in there? Of course, then the New York Times had to come out and say, well, we're going to update the story to say that, yes, the woman can't actually recall this ever happening. Okay. But of course, there's no retractions. There's no never mind about it. There's still like all this stuff. So the two contributors who had created the article, getting my mail, one moment, who had created the article, then appeared and said, yeah, our original article had that fact in it. But we think what happened was that normally the editors at the Times don't unsubstantiated things like this. They don't like to mention people's names. And since the sentence that said so-and-so never even recalled this happening began with her name, they probably just took the whole sentence out by mistake. Okay. Okay. Sure. I'm sure that happened. And the distinct impression that I and seemingly other people have come away from is that this was not newsworthy to begin with, and that there were certain details that were purposely obscured to try to make it more newsworthy. And then, of course, retractions had to be. And, you know, for a news organization, for a supposedly unbiased news organization that is just looking for the truth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is first of all, the article, even with the omission in, was all just hearsay. And seeing a supposed news organization put this kind of stuff out because apparently they have an agenda. I don't know. It's just astonishing. It's astonishing to see how far this has dropped, how much of a witch hunt this has turned into. And in addition to that, after this whole thing blows up, somebody else is reading this book, and CBS comes out and says, oh yeah, by the way, and also in the book, there's this fact, or this interesting tidbit, that when Christina Blasey Ford was doing her reporting on what the incident that happened to her, she said that her best friend was there. And what's interesting is the best friend in this book is reported as having said to friends that Christina Blasey Ford's story just didn't make any sense to her at all, that she couldn't figure out how it could be true. That was kind of known before, but then there was also, from what I understand, there was also this addition that the friend said, yeah, and there were friends of Christina Blasey Ford's and associates that were pressuring me and telling me I really need to back up Christina Blasey Ford's story, and that, you know, if I didn't, there, you know, things, rumors can get started about this. And it's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait, so you're saying you were being pressured to change your story and there were some vague threats associated with it. This is called suborning perjury. But that didn't seem like a newsworthy story for the New York Times. They instead chose to run a rumor from 30 years ago and just happened to drop a line that called into the question the veracity of the rumor. It's just like, oh man, really? Really? The New York Times jumps the shark. But, you know, as I've said before, every belief system, as it advances, goes into these kind of crazy times where people just go overboard. I mean, grant, as I've said before, Christianity, we've had our Inquisitions, we've had our witch hunts, we've had our Crusades. I mean, terrible, terrible things have happened in the name of Christianity, not because Christianity was bad as a belief system, but because people take it and take it to extremes. And that's all we're really seeing here. You know, a lot of the goals and ideals on the left are good goals and good ideals, but you just have people who are turning them into this craziness. And, you know, hopefully they'll work their way through this and eventually get to the place where they've kind of worked through the witch hunts and the crusades and all that kind of stuff and settle back down into something that's reasonable. But it is just fascinating to watch the lengths that are gone to in this. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. This will probably blow over just like the young kids from the high school, Covington High. You know, I mean, they were just smeared and vilified and all. And then it all, something else comes back and it's like, oh, well, sorry. And then they just wander off, you know. Wow. Such an interesting time to be alive. And we've still got over a year until the election. Oh, we have to go for another year of this. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.